Good morning. My name is Pete Kelly, and I'm a member of the Board of Trustees of this congregation. We welcome all, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religious background, or political affiliation, factors that can separate people in the larger culture. If this is your first time visiting us, please join us after the service for refreshments, and feel free to take any brochures on UUism that are on the wall near the back door. Please sign our guest book in the entry hall. People with name tags, if I could find my name tag, it would have a blue dot on it. And blue dots mean that we are members of this congregation, and we'll be happy to tell you more about us. Because our services may differ widely from week to week, we encourage you to return two or three times to get a much better understanding of the variety of our worship. The children will be involved in a social action project during this service. They'll be decorating cookies out in the foyer, and I'm told that ultimately this social action project has to do with bunny rabbits, but I don't know anything more about that. Again, we welcome everybody, and we look forward to getting to know you better after the service. Reverend Lynn.
Thanks, Peter. And I think Rebecca can tell us more about the bunny rabbits, right? Okay. I would just like to put before you or remind you about the Guest at Your Table program. If you've not gotten your box as yet, it is not too late. I hope that you are making contributions to your box at mealtime or are at least thinking of perhaps giving us a check in the box. Checks go very well in that box, as well as coins. And let us strive to make this be our biggest contributions for this very worthy cause of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. This is their main fundraising activity that they ask congregations to take part in at this time each year, to fund all their activities worldwide in helping people to help themselves. So do keep that in mind. We'll collect them starting on Christmas Eve if you want to bring them in on Christmas Eve or any time during January. Linda McNeil is going to be coordinating the collection of them all, so she'd be a person to see about it. And also they can be given, I think, at the up here or in the church office as well. From our fragmented personal worlds, we gather here to seek wholeness. From the feeling of isolation and loneliness, we come here to feel connectedness. From the vast evils in the world, we seek here to relate to what is good. From the tempting idols of the mind and the confusion of the spirit, we would find here something of meaning. From the proclamations of doom on every hand, we would find here what is hopeful. From thoughtless non-caring, we would be charged here with the spirit of vital faith in ourselves and love for our human family. Now, Rebecca will light our chalice for us.
Please rise. May the light of this flame
illuminate our lives and strive of the Spirit. May it heal misunderstanding and strengthen love.
Let us now say together the words of our affirmation found in your order of service. Love is the doctrine of this fellowship. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth and love, to serve humanity in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony. Thus do we covenant with one another. Before we greet ourselves, you may want to turn your hymn books to number 235, Deck the Halls. Although I would imagine for a great number of you, you probably wouldn't even need the hymn book, but just in case. Let us now greet one another.
Children out, they will be making cookies for the Heifer International, and so after coffee hour, if you would come out and purchase these wonderful decorative works of art that they'll be making, and they will be buying a trio of rabbits for a needy family in a foreign country. That's what Heifer does. You can buy rabbits or chicks or cows or goats, and so we're aiming for rabbits. A trio of rabbits today. So let's sing the children out.
Now is always a very special time each Sunday morning when we gather together. It is a time when we share our joys and concerns and sorrows with one another. It's a way we develop our community and strengthen our bonds with one another. So if you have such a joy, a concern, a sorrow you'd love to share, please feel free to come up. light a candle and tell us what it is into the mic.
Hi, I'm Linda McNeil, and mine is all about an update about my husband's military unit. We welcomed home 28 of the 30 soldiers that left. They came home this week after a year in Iraq, and two have died, and we celebrated that. And my husband's leaving April 1st for Iraq, and that's a sad thing. The soldier that I wrote to, I advertised in the booklet about soldiers that needed letters, and evidently somebody picked up on it, Scott Dyer's daughter Anne, and wrote to the same soldier that I did all year, and he received a Purple Heart on returning because he had sustained some injuries. And I was also very moved when I got here this morning. I don't know who it is, but I hope they'll identify themselves to me, but some lovely woman who's new here called me this week saying that her children all organized, you know, that list that I put in the bulletin about exactly what the soldiers need. So they all got together, and I came in, and they are piled high boxes for the troops, and they're just lovely. I was very moved, and I don't know who the woman is, but I think she'll identify herself to me in the next couple of weeks. So, thank you. That's it. And I will need a lot of company next year. My husband will be away for 18 months. And I hope that the soldiers that came back don't have the post-stress syndrome. That candle is for Henry, who's Purple Heart, and this is good luck to my husband.
Hi, I'm Judy Parker, and I have two things to light a candle for, but I'll light only one. One is that this is our first Christmas in our new condo, and we actually have a fireplace mantle to hang our stockings on, except that I couldn't find our stockings. But here's the candle of joy, that I actually did find them and hung them up. And the concern is for my friend Fred Shapiro, who will be starting chemotherapy this week, and I know it will be difficult, but his long-term prognosis is good, and so it's a candle of hope that he comes through this well.
Hi, I'm Robin Kowalski, and a couple of things Linda brought to mind for me about the veterans and the concerns about post-traumatic stress when they return, and there's been a few articles recently about that and about what services may or may not be available, if there will be adequate services. And it is a concern to me personally because my father, as a World War II vet, did suffer post-traumatic stress disorder, not called that at the time. And, you know, at that time, 50s and 60s and so forth, when I was growing up, and he was receiving services through the Veterans Administration, I really don't think it was adequate or as extensive and thorough as it could be. So I'm really praying for the vets right now. The other thing is, a lot of you know, I'm getting a separation and divorce, and it's something I want, but at the same time, it's a sorrow because it's an end of what I've known for over 25 years, really, since I met my husband, and bringing out a lot of high emotions, the nostalgia, the memories, You know, as the time gets nearer, he's going to be moving out in a few weeks. So it's somewhat of a sorrow, but to a new beginning, I suppose.
I'm Graham Clark, and this is a candle of joy. On November 20th at 4:30 p.m., I got into a very, very bad car accident from which I walked away without injury. And that was November 20th, and it is December 19th, and I have a new car, and it seems to have the story arc has come down again, and it's over. I spend a tremendous amount of time in my car for work and traveling around, and it's change. It's good change, you know. It's a brand new car, but it's also really hard to get used to something that I spend that much time in, and a lot of things are different, and it's kind of very stressful. And I just want to thank the people here who were very helpful to me when this happened. I was for weeks afterwards, you know, and people, Kay, Ed, Rebecca, Lynn were very good to me. So,
I'm Amanda Jacoby, and this is definitely a candle of joy because my principal was last like summer or something a while ago. He was diagnosed with cancer, and he was out for a while, and we had an acting, standing-in principal, and now our regular principal's back, and he seems like he's doing very well, and he's a really great guy, and so I'm really happy for him, and I hope he does well in years to come.
My name is Pam Cole, and this is a candle of joy. I don't know if you guys remember, about a year ago, I asked everyone to channel their prayers down to Tennessee for my dad with cancer. It's a rare cancer, and he's been fighting it with some really, avant-garde, or like very unusual therapies. And I got a call from my mom on Thursday that the cancer that was here is completely gone. So we're still watching other parts of his body, but right, mm-hmm. That's like a huge, huge step. So maybe prayer does work. I wasn't sure there for a while.
This last candle is one for any joy or concern or sorrow that might be unspoken, but still very much with us. May we keep them all, the ones spoken as well as the ones unspoken, in our minds and in our hearts and in our prayers this coming week. And yes, Pam, I do believe prayer works. Let us now read responsively number 543, found in the back of your hymnal. Let us not wish away the winter. It is a season to itself, not simply the way to spring.
When trees rest, growing no leaves, gathering no light, they
The clarity and brilliance of the winter sky delight. The loom of fog softens edges, lulls the eyes and ears of the quiet, awakens by risk the unquiet. A low, dark sky can snow, emblem of individuality, liberality, and aggregate power. Snow invites to contemplation and to sport.
Winter is the table set with ice and starlight.
Winter dark tends to warm light, fire and candle. Winter cold to hugs and huddles. Winter want to gifts and sharing. Winter danger to visions, plans, and common endeavoring, and the zest of narrow escapes. Winter tedium to merrymaking.
Let us therefore raise winter, rich in beauty, challenge, and pregnant.
Winds that whistle, roar, and wind.
Thank you all. That was lovely. Well, I am both minister and woman, and as both, I have the prerogative to change my mind. The reading is not as it appears in your order of service, but instead is taken from one by a Universalist back in the days when it was still just a Universalist minister. He's been deceased for a while, Reverend Clinton Lee Scott. It's a reading that talks about what kinds of things this holiday season invokes in all of us. He says, "It is a mood, a sentiment, a symbol. It is the quickening of the presence of other persons into whose lives we have invested a part of our own lives. It is a memory of other days when into one's path a special one appeared to turn an ordinary moment or a commonplace event into a hallowed experience. It is home and hearth, the full free laughter of children, the remembrance of friends. In a moment of peace amid the noisy conflicts within and without. It is a gathering up of the transcendent dreams of the centuries. It is a time when goodwill is reborn and again made real in the hopes and hearts of us all." So ends our reading. This congregation is the community of ourselves. Its energy and resources are our energy and resources. Its wealth is what we share. As we contribute to the life of this community, we affirm our lives within it. This morning's offering will now be taken. Now let us be in the spirit of meditation. At this winter solstice time, let there be silence.
Let there be reverence in your heart. Let all the sounds of the earth flood over you in order that you may receive that which only silence can make possible. Drop down your burdens on the earth and feel the strength of earth well up through you. Flow upward from the ground through bone and sinew into strength. Rest your heart in silence. And a thousand songs you never heard before will pour into your ears. Throw open the doors of your heart to all. And as its invitation answer finds, your heart will be full. And they who come will be filled as well. Let there be silence. Let there be reverence. Let there be welcome. And above all, this holiday season, let there be wonder in your heart. Amen. Let us now sing hymn number 55, Dark of Winter.
The holiday season, as experienced here traditionally in America, from Hanukkah to Christmas and Kwanzaa and other ethnic celebrations of the season, is swirling with smells of roast turkey, latkes, and mincemeat pie, of fresh-cut wood and the spiciness of evergreen trees, of scented candles, of cloves and oranges and cranberries, of savory ethnic dishes from many places, and of that sharp, snowy tang in the air, which I think we can smell today. Whatever the aroma, feelings that we often can only barely acknowledge or comprehend are rising to the surface and govern many of our actions at this time. Stir into this pot of aromas and feelings memories of holidays past, of family get-togethers, of childhood experiences, and you can concoct quite a stew we often find ourselves swimming in during all the events and activities of the holiday season. For many of us, this season may well remind us of a quote from Charles Dickens. And no, it's not from A Christmas Carol, but rather from another of his classic novels, A Tale of Two Cities. Our holiday season can be both the best of times and the worst of times, a period of wisdom and a period of foolishness, a spell of belief and a spell of incredulity, a season of light and a season of darkness, the spring of hope and the winter of despair, an interval where everything is before us and an interval where nothing is before us, a heavenly time and a hellish time. In short, as Dickens states, it is such a time that calls for superlative degrees of comparison only. For many of us, swinging from one superlative to another can be almost a daily occurrence during this time. One reason for the confusion and dichotomy may be because these holidays are filled with expectations and traditions. It is laden with all sorts of emotional, psychological, and spiritual imports that touch the deepest parts of ourselves and can bring out both the best and the worst of us. And it can cause us to even indulge in a Mardi Gras-type party atmosphere in anticipation of this multi-layered season. Recently, the holiday of Halloween is reported to be second only to Christmas as far as excess is concerned, and this is a growing trend. It, like Christmas, has become a multi-million dollar annual industry in recent years. The rise in amusement centers catering to the spooky and the frightening, costume parties, house and lawn decorations of glittering ghosts and ghouls that can rival Christmas lawn ornaments, all attest to this. Baby boomer demographer Cheryl Russell claims that much of this rise in Halloween frolic and spending is being fueled by baby boomer adults. Asked why she believes these adults are getting more involved with Halloween rather than Christmas, Russell claims that baby boomers are always looking for a good time, and Halloween fits. It doesn't have the anxieties of Christmas, wrapped up in nervousness about buying the right gift and in secretiveness. And Christmas has a lot of expectations to live up to. With Halloween, you can just have fun. As one baby boomer mom herself puts it, my kids laugh at me and tell me I take Halloween more seriously than Christmas. And they're right, because on Halloween, you can be whatever you want. You can be outrageous. Christmas, on the other hand, is such a proper holiday. Doing what one wants, just having fun, being outrageous, even at Halloween, can offset the proper holidays, the relatively staid traditions of Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, and other such celebrations of the season. which have those expectations. One such central expectation, either outwardly acknowledged or only subliminally sensed, is often of wonderful, exciting, heartwarming, loving gatherings of families and friends. Clinton Lee Scott in his words about this holiday time. It is mood, it is symbol, it is memories of those who have deeply touched us. It is hallowed home and hearth. It is transcendent dreams. Reverend Scott, these are images we all want to secure and cherish in our hearts. It speaks to the very core of our beings. But there is much talk today, both in pop culture and professional circles alike, of dysfunctional families, toxic parents, the loosening or the dissolution of family ties, and of abusive relationships. And then, of course, there are those troubled times for families, those years where families have their trials and their changes and their sorrows. Yes, these things need to be acknowledged and dealt with, something we often have not done in previous times. Horrendous as some of these might be, they have long been with us, even in the good old days for which nostalgia makes us yearn. But they can make this holiday season, with its emphasis on the wonders of close relationships, difficult for quite a few. Now, fairly healthy and close families, I believe, are still very much in the majority, despite much adverse publicity, or families that are that way at least most of the time. But even they are often bombarded from the outside with stressors everywhere they go. The consumer mentality shouts at them to buy love with toys and gewgaws, to buy the mood, the sentiment with glittering objects, movies and music, or with specialty food and drink. Stressors of time constraints, money issues, corrupting or harmful influences on our children and adults also tend to be heightened at this holiday time. It is striving for the heavenly while dealing with the hellish side, whatever its name. Psychologist Mary Pfeiffer states that families are also our shelter from the storm, our oldest and most precious institution, and our last great hope. We want to. We need to believe, in spite of our disbelief, in spite of our feelings of ambiguity and frustration at times. Consider the persistence in the belief of Santa Claus, or the wonder-filled incredulity felt at seeing a lamp burn for 8 days straight with so little fuel. For hope springs within us, even in the winter of our despair, the winter that begins with these multi-meaning laden holidays. I can recall a student at a school where I used to teach years ago, a 15-year-old boy who had lived in one of those horrendous families of toxic parents, deaths of the few loved ones in his life, of much abuse and neglect. One of his teachers took a special interest in him, spending much time with him above and beyond the call of duty. She had even invited him to spend some family holidays and vacations with her and her husband and their small children. She relates how he just blossomed being the older brother in the family dynamic as they decorated a Christmas tree, spent a day at the beach, or helped one another with their homework. How delighted he was in learning what a healthy family could be. But soon, outside forces caused him to move on to another area, where things again, we learned, slid downhill for him. At first, the teacher told me she felt awful that she had given him a taste of something he could not find in his own family. She was afraid it might make him more bitter and angry at the reality of his own life. I tried to assure her that indeed she had given him a most precious gift.
She had given him hope in the midst of his despair, hope that he could believe that good family relationships did exist and that he was capable of being part of such a family. In the midst of his incredulity that such could exist for him, she gave him a reason to believe, to hope that being a part of warm, loving relationships of whatever kind could be true for even as such as he. He will carry that light-filled gift in his heart forever, no matter what darkness befalls him. What she taught him, too, was to dare the dark. In ancient days, our ancestors dared the dark of the winter solstice time. They pushed away their fears of what darkness might mean for them. With the waning sun possibly going away from them altogether, it could mean the absence of green growing things, starvation, even death. So they chased the dark away from their minds by making merry, singing and dancing and feasting, shouting the dark away. Ancient myths are full of this need to dare the dark as well. There are many mythic tales of gods and goddesses descending to the dark underworld, where they undergo necessary trials and tribulations that help them grow inwardly, that help them as they emerge to see the light in a new way, a new and glorious way. The Sumerian goddess Inanna is one of these who descends for a time to the dark and dangerous underworld. But she made sure that help would be there for her if she could not emerge from the dark on her own. She knew the need for others in her time of darkness, others who could lead her from darkness once again. She told her faithful companion to beat the drum and circle the houses of the other gods if she did not return when expected. Make noise, she told her, and implore others to help Inanna emerge from the darkness, to bring her to the light, the life-saving light, once again. Just as together we make noise this dark time of the year today. Here, I think we can intuit the true meaning of all the holy days that occur around our winter solstice, the darkest time of year. Be it the Star of Bethlehem shining down on the newborn hope of the Christmas world, Christian world, be it the unfaltering lamplight declaring to the Jewish people that their God did not abandon them to the dark, or any other religious significance attached to this time of year, it is the same. When the world is dark, full of fears and hardships, loneliness and heartbreak, we must band together around the light, be gifts of light to one another, and help each other to dare the dark. It is just as true today as it was some millennia ago, when humankind first banded together around the fire to keep their terrors of the dark night at bay, to gift themselves with courage and hope that despite what their eyes were telling them to believe, all would be well again. It was to these ancient peoples, so powerful and compelling a need, that they called it holy. May we, this season of 2004 in the Christian calendar, remember this basic, elemental, but profound meaning during all the celebrations of this dark time of year. May it help us all to dare the dark and find a family, a home, a hearth, however it may be defined for any individual. May it help us all to find a welcoming group with which to gather. And may it help us to remember what the only gift worth giving should be, the gift we bring from our hearts. Amen. And now let us sing hymn number 101, Abide With Me. Thank you.
May you dare the dark this season. May you see the light, and may it gladden your soul. Now let us say the words of the chalice extinguishing together. Carry the flame of peace and love until we meet again. And let us now all sing together.
Go now in peace.